So we read this morning from Psalm 16, and I want to approach this psalm this morning and hopefully tease out some things that will help us here this morning. And I do trust and pray that the Lord will speak through the sermon this morning into your heart. Now, have you ever heard anybody say, "Ugh, sure, he's led a sheltered life," or "it's little wonder he can't do it himself, he's just sheltered"? Okay. Now, I'm sure you have, and you might even have thought that about somebody else. And it's usually, of course, people mean it when they use the phrase that someone has very little experience, or they've been a bit overprotected, a little bit cushioned by someone else. Would it be true to say usually a parent? Don't know. Or like the wee man, he doesn't know how to boil an egg. Or he doesn't even know where the washing machine is, because his mammy's done it for him, right up till he's about 40. And I must say, I don't really know where the washing machine is in the house. I know there's a play button on it, and if it's all set up and ready to hit play, I'm all right. So a sheltered person who's somebody who maybe has never had to struggle, or someone who has been very protected, someone who has had a sheltered life. Now, when we use the term, we usually mean something negative. But when King David wrote this psalm, Psalm 16, he didn't think a sheltered life as being something negative at all. In fact, he would say quite the opposite. To live a sheltered life was something very positive indeed. Now, as David writes here, he recommends a sheltered life to us all, each one of us sitting here this morning. To live a sheltered life, he says, is good for you. And if you want to have a sheltered life, the first thing you need is commitment. And this is what we find in verses 1 to 4. Now, it's true to say the beginning of a Christian life, and indeed the whole of a Christian life, is all about commitment. Total commitment to God. A God who will keep us safe, who will protect us from anything and everything that may harm us. And so David asks, verse 1, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge." Now, one of the beautiful things about many parts of the scripture is that it paints vivid pictures for us to help us understand just what God is saying to us. Now, in verse 1, whenever you think about taking refuge, now, an image that might conjure up in your mind is an idea of a parent taking care of its young. And I have just sort of joined that club, and I can understand the idea of trying to lift the baby very, very gently and just putting it down and just trying to make sure that it's safe and well. And a mother takes a child under her wings and keeps them safe. When we make a commitment to our Heavenly Father, He assures us that we will always be able to find that wonderful refuge in Him. Is that something that you need today? Are you struggling with some specific trouble? Are you waiting for surgery or some form of medical care? Do you have a son or a daughter who is making things difficult for you? Are you going to a job every day where you're discriminated against? Are your waking hours filled with worry about a friend or a family member? If so, please listen again to this just one little verse. "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. That's the type of God that you commit your life to, a God who is totally committed to you. In verse 2, David goes on to say, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." So as David submits himself to God, he now goes on to say that not only am I committed to you, but you are everything I need. There is nothing else that I have that is any good to me. You are all the good I need. If we think to the verse in Philippians where Paul writes in Philippians 3 verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." And there's a hymn that we sometimes sing in church, and it puts it like this: "Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy and righteousness, and I love you, Lord." We go on to verse 3, and there comes a difficult word from the psalmist. It tells us that if we delight in God, then we should also delight in our fellow believers. Now, it's easy to love God, but the simple fact is that it's not always easy to love all fellow believers. In fact, some of the most difficult people you know, may well be a follower of Christ. But this psalm doesn't let us away with anything. God won't let us off the hook, because the fact is that faith in Christ simply flows over into love and care for his people. So ask yourself this morning, is there something or someone that I could care for more this week? Could I do something that would help my love for God flow into someone else's life? And please do pray about that, and don't just leave it there. Let me encourage you to let your love for God work out practically in someone else's life. Now, some of you are maybe already doing this. You maybe take a friend out for coffee or tea. You maybe visit people in hospital. If you're really good at baking scones or tray bakes, maybe you do that freely and you pass it on to different people. So a properly sheltered life is one that is totally committed to God and to nothing else. A life of joy and love that is lived out in your own life and in the life of fellow believers. That's commitment. Now, the second mark of a sheltered life is contentment. Now, I'm using this baby analogy because it's very strong to my heart at the minute. When you see a baby lying in a pram or in a parent's arms, it's all nicely wrapped up, it's fast asleep, and your reaction is, "Oh, it looks so contented, so peaceful." Well, once again, in this psalm, we get a picture, and this time it's a picture of contentment. David is so content in his commitment to God that he has no time for any other false gods that are so prevalent in the culture of that day. We can have many false gods in our culture today, and it can come in the form of many, many different things, and we don't even realize that we put and invest so much energy into those things that distract us from a total commitment and contentment in God. David goes on to say, "Lord, you have assigned me my cup and my portion. God is the one who sustains and refreshes us. He is the God who provides everything we need. He is our food and drink." And if we think back to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, he teaches his disciples to pray by asking, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, Jesus was telling them and us to ask for something he knew that God would be able to provide. And David already knew this. Our amazing God is everything we need for our day-to-day living. Now, I wonder if you ever doubted that. Or have you been maybe so ill, so depressed, so worried, so anxious, so afraid, or so sad that you cannot find your contentment in God? Well, let me assure you that God loves you. He will provide everything you need, whatever the circumstances of your life. And here David remembers how God brought his people out of slavery and into the promised land, how he drew up the boundary lines for them as he gave each enough land to live on. But somehow when we think of boundaries, we think of something that restricts us or ties us in. But if you think about this, if you've ever seen maybe 20 or 30 children out kicking a ball in a field, okay, they're running everywhere, it's chaos, it's manic, and there's no rules, and they're not getting anywhere. And maybe some of the parents arrive, and they throw two jumpers down at one side and two jumpers down at the other. And then the parent says, okay, into the bushes, and it's out of play. He gets a whistle, and they begin to play. Now you see, these boundaries that have been set has helped the children to enjoy themselves more. The boundary lines have not restricted them at all. In fact, it has done the opposite. And you need to know, and please know, that the boundary lines that God has drawn up for you have fallen in pleasant places, as the scripture tells us. You might not be content with all the things that life is throwing at you at the minute. But remember, God is also a God of comfort. He will fill you with his peace, and that peace that passes all understanding. He will make straight the path for you. He has made the promise for you. And then John 8, verse 12 says this, when you follow me, you will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a delightful inheritance in store for all of us. A sheltered life lived in that present and a made perfect in the future, where one day we will sit before the throne and join in the everlasting praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And so, one of the key to living a sheltered life is a life full of contentment. Contentment in God, who is sufficient for today and for all eternity. And that's for those who have placed their trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ and has accepted him as their Savior. This is the delightful inheritance for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly then, a sheltered life is full of confidence. And in verse 8, David tells us just how confident in God he is. I have set the Lord always before me. But what does he mean by that? Now, I like the way the theologian Charles Hodge said that he remembered whenever he was a child, he developed the habit of being thankful to God for everything he received and also of asking him for everything he wanted. He said that he had never been taught this, but it just seemed like the natural thing to do. He thought of God as being everywhere present. A God who was full of love and kindness, who would not be offended if a child spoke to him. This can be outlived in our communion with God, our daily communion with God, those times when we're so frustrated, those times when we're so annoyed, our patience is dwindling, we can talk to God there and then and keep that communion formed. Strengthen that bond and strengthen that communion every moment of every day. Are you this confident in God? How is your prayer life? Are you asking God for everything you want? Are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your health? Are you asking God to save your friends and your family who are lost? And have you developed the habit of giving thanks to God for everything you have received? Remember, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we too can be confident in God's presence that extends beyond today and tomorrow. And it extends beyond even death itself. What a wonderful sense of confidence to have. As followers of Christ, that's what makes a difference when death comes knocking at our door. Because that's when, like David, you are able to rest secure in a God who will never abandon you, not even in death. So are you living a sheltered life? Are you now happy to say that you are living a sheltered life? For a sheltered life is not anything negative, something used to describe a naive or innocent person, but it's in fact the opposite. And living your sheltered life, you do so very positively. So the three C's to remember: a life lived in total commitment to a God who has everything you need. A life lived in total contentment in the love of a Father who is your constant companion. And then thirdly, a life lived in total confidence of a God who will never abandon you in this life and beyond. And that's what a life of faith looks like. A faith based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. In Christ alone may our hope be found. Amen.